and neither is he as willing to compliment you like he used to. And he starts to put you down and to speak negative words, and he's very controlling, and he doesn't want you to be with your family or your friends, and the intimidation comes out. So all of the signs of a narcissist comes into play. So a narcissist practices the artful skill of intimidation, manipulation, control, isolation, and separation, pretty much like an abuser does when they slowly begin to intimidate and manipulate and isolate his girlfriend or his wife, or if it's a female, then she want to separate the husband or the boyfriend from the family and the friends and from all of the people that really love them. So a witch or a warlock is interested in separating you from God's chosen vessels that are anointed and appointed by God to help you grow into spiritual maturity, which brings me back to the monitoring spirits. Arise and Shine for Jesus ministry is always being monitored. It's being monitored by God's angels, and it's being monitored by Satan's angels. This prayer line has been under attack for many years, up and down. There's times when it's very peaceful on this line, and there's times when it's very hostile on this line. And what I mean by being hostile is times where we really had to war and fight in the spirit to shut down the powers and the principalities that were trying to shut us down. So when it comes down to the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists, what are they doing to sound the alarm, to teach us about spiritual warfare and a strong spirit of deception that is running rampant, that is working closely with the narcissist? So the examples I gave for a narcissist, let's talk about a witch or a warlock. And our foundational scripture tonight is in Ephesians 4:11 and 12. In the perfecting of the saints, the last time that we came together, well, not the last time, but I did share on Ephesians 6 chapter, but I came from the verse 16, but tonight it's a little different. Give me 1 second, trying to get there. But Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and so I just want to share about the title, because the fivefold ministry, that's the name, that's the apostles, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teacher, the evangelist. Yes, that is their title. That's, you know, you've been called to be an apostle, you're a messenger of God. You've been called to be a prophet, you're a messenger of God. And we have the preachers and the teacher and the evangelist that are called to evangelize. And Ephesians, this thing don't want to open up for me. But Ephesians 4, give me one moment. In Ephesians 4:11 and 12, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, for the perfecting of the saints. So the purpose of my sharing this message tonight is for the perfecting of the saints with spiritual warfare and recognizing the warning signs of the enemy. So when I was sharing about a narcissist in a relationship, and a lot of times if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, it ends up being abusive. So when it comes down to witches and warlocks, remember, we're talking about the strong spirit of deception, and that's the spirit that we're going to pull down today and all of the cohorts that work closely with it. So a witch or a warlock act pretty much like a narcissist. They come into a church. Got to remember, they're false prophets. So, and that's why I was went to Ephesians 4:11 and 12. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, and their purpose is to separate us from God's chosen vessels that are anointed and appointed by God to help us grow into spiritual maturity. So they come and they appear, you know, having the appearance of God, but not really knowing God. They come preaching and teaching the word like they really know God, but they don't know God like that because they perpetrate in the fraud. They operate in deception, and they are bewitching folks. And the spirit of falsehood is discrediting the true apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers and evangelists. So a lot of times the witchcraft enters in. I'm going to use Jezebel for a moment. So Jezebel comes into the church, and she's friendly, she's loving, she's kind. She begins to preach, she begins to pray, she begins to prophesy and prophesy at the same time. So the pastor is really, really feeling her. She wiggles her way. She gets into the church now. She gets assigned to ministry. Now that her foot is in the door, she begins to transform, like I said, with the narcissist. And in the transforming, she begins to cause isolation and separation through the true men and women of God. And the purpose is to cause confusion, to cause manipulation, and to cause division. And so during the isolation process, the witch and the warlock will get you so busy doing things and serving them versus serving God. And we have to be very careful when you meet people and they just want to use up all of your time. They want to be with you all the time. They want to talk to you all the time. They want to be on the phone like all day long, and they want to talk to you on Facebook. They want to talk to you on Messenger. They want to talk to you on WhatsApp. It doesn't matter what platform they use. If a person is like really clingy and really needy and they just want all of your time, you need to be careful about that, because a lot of times the witches and the warlocks, that's how they get access into your life. They pretend to know you. They pretend to want to know you. They pretend to love you. And they're really getting information from you. They're monitoring you. They are watching you in the spirit. They're watching how you respond when good things happen to you. They're watching you on how you respond when bad things happen to you. So they specialize in using up your time, preventing you from spending. This is the key. The goal is to prevent you from spending time in the Word of God and in prayer. So talking to them all day keeps you busy. And I'm quite sure we have all had people in our lives where we talk to like 9 to 5, and we didn't even talk to God that much. But they keep us so busy, so into what's going on in their lives, and we really talk about us and what is happening in our lives. So how do we get away from situations like that? How do we begin to deal with or confront with a person that is stealing our time without offending them? And I'm going to pause there for a moment, because most people don't want to speak up for themselves and don't want to advocate for themselves because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And listen, as long as you are respectful, as long as what you say is in love, you don't have to worry about hurting nobody's feelings, because you're not hurting their feelings on purpose. But if you choose to let them remain in their situation, then that's on you, and the blood will be on your hands. So the spirit of error is the culprit here. And the spirit of error is in full effect. And what you thought was right is wrong, and what is wrong you think is right. And you begin to come against the righteous people. And what I mean by that is, now that the spirit of Jezebel or that witch or that warlock, they was operating in the spirit of love in the beginning, but now the falsehood is showing, and they're operating in the spirit of falsehood, and they're causing division. So the spirit of error loves to say what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. And so when they begin to persecute and come against the ones that are quiet in the land, they do so with great disdain. And the people that you once loved and respected in ministry begin to turn on you. And you don't know why. Well, the witch and the warlock, they are talking about you and they're discrediting you, saying you are the false prophet, you are the false apostle, you are the false evangelist, you are the false teacher, and you are the false pastor. And so why are they saying these things? Well, they want to discredit you. They want the church, they want the people to recognize them as the true men and women of God so that they can deceive them and get a foothold in their lives. So Nehemiah, I'm going to go there for a moment. Nehemiah, he asked God to go to Jerusalem to help rebuild the walls. And when he asked for permission from God, then he went to the king to ask for permission. And the king gave him permission. So now he goes and he's there, and Tobiah and Sambalot hear what Nehemiah is doing. So right there, the opposition starts. Right there, the resistance starts. Right there, they begin to talk among themselves about Nehemiah and the work that he is doing. And symbolically, when that witch or that warlock come into the church and they spot out, they spy, they monitor, they watch, and they observe the ones in the church that are making a difference in the body of Christ, making a difference in that house through the prayers, through praise, through worship. Maybe the person has a dance ministry or a singing ministry, or maybe that person can really preach or teach really good, and souls are being saved, the healing is going forth, the anointing is in the house, the fire of God is present, and so people are growing. But now this false prophet, the false, you know, the warlock, the witch is there, and they're monitoring. So they was monitoring Nehemiah. And right now, it's like they wanted to do everything they could to distract him so that he would stop doing the work that God called him to do. And the scripture tells us that when the enemy heard what he was doing, that they laughed him to scorn, they despised him, they mocked him, and they taunted him. Now, if you go back to any, we all have had situations with witches or warlocks, and they have taunted us, they have despised us, they have mocked us, and they have laughed us to scorn. But regardless of what they did, God will always have the last say. And God says that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. So when we're dealing with the spirit of error, and especially if a person is operating in a spirit of pride, you can go to that person all day long. But the truth is, he is not going to listen to what you are saying. It's going to be the Holy Ghost that has to convict the heart to believe. So when it comes to the witch and the warlock now discrediting the true men and women of God in the church, it's going to take the Spirit of God to reveal to the church who the real person is and who the counterfeit is that is operating in deception. So God loves us, and God allows us to hear his word. And as we begin to pray and fast, we receive wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from God. And situations that we find ourselves in, God shows us how to get out of these situations. So going back to the witches and the warlocks, their goal is to shut us down. Their goal is to distract us and to prevent us from walking in the Word of God and learning how to be patient and wait on God. During those times when we get impatient, that's where they can really come in and try and influence you to go out on your own and start your ministry and start preaching. And they may say, oh, I'm going to help you. And then they don't really help you. It's because Satan is good with making promises, but he never keeps his promises. But when we think about the witches and the warlocks, you can't, you have to understand the rebellion, even in the witchcraft, in the divination. The Bible says that rebellion is as witchcraft, is like witchcraft. So when we rebel against God, we operate in the spirit of witchcraft. And witchcraft consists of control, manipulation, intimidation, and a lot of other things. But some, those are some of the key words that I want to, you know, share tonight, because any area where we have been controlled, we have been manipulated, we need to pull it down tonight. In any areas where you've been struggling with condemnation and guilt, we really need to deal with this once and for all so that we can move on and be the women that God has called us to be and be the men that God has called us to be. So exposing the works of the enemy is one of my goals with the teach on Nehemiah. And I want to share some key prayer points from Nehemiah, the sixth chapter. But I want to talk about the witches and the warlocks and how Ephesians 4, they're supposed to be perfecting the saints, edifying the saints, and they're not doing that. So they've been tearing the saints down, and they've been tearing them down through gossip, through slander, through jealousy, through envy, through pride, through false accusations, through false gifts, false signs, false wonders. They've been lying, manipulating, controlling, trying to be like they're your best friend, and they get all of this information about you, and then they start to talk about you. They slander you. They have great disdain in their heart towards you. So in Nehemiah, the sixth chapter, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. When Sambalot, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no more breaks in it, even though I hadn't yet installed the gates, Sambalot and Geshem sent this message: come and meet with us at Kepharim in the Valley of Ono. I knew they were scheming to hurt me, so I sent messengers back with them. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Why should you, why should the work come to a standstill just so I can come down to see you? So here we have the spirit of assassination, and the witch and the warlock, when they infiltrate a church, their purpose is to assassinate. Their purpose is to separate. Their purpose is to cause division. The spirit of Sambalot and Tobiah, they were straight up. They wasn't trying to hide. They made it known that they didn't like Nehemiah and they didn't want Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. A witch and a warlock will come to your church and they will pretend to like you. They will let you know that, oh, that's a pretty hat you got on. You know, they'll compliment you and they'll say nice things about you. And they'll even get to know you a little bit. But at the right time, then they're going to start slandering you. And so we want to bind the spirit of slander. We want to bind the spirit of division, discord, disunity, strife, anger, wrath, criticism, condemnation, pride, envy, jealousy, gossip, slander, complaining, lying signs, wonders, hindering spirits, spirit of distraction, deceiving spirits, competitive spirits, haughty spirits, arrogant spirits, and the spirit of error and the spirit of death. So going back to the beginning with the narcissist in an abusive relationship, when you're in a church and you think everybody is on one accord, and then you start seeing a separation. And so now you have the witches and the warlocks rising up against the true men and women of God. And so that narcissistic behavior begins to come out. So this witch or warlock, where they was building you up and saying positive things about you, now they're acting like the narcissist, and they putting you down, and they falsely accusing you of being a witch, or they accuse you of being a false prophet, and they get people to doubt the things that you said, and they have people watching you, and they twist the word of God, they twist the things that you say, and they cause confusion and the people are now looking at you like, are you really who you say you are, or are you perpetrating the fraud? And this is the biggest deception with spiritual warfare, because the enemy brings confusion and chaos, and they cause the people to doubt the true men and women of God. And when this happens, those people begin to operate in the spirit of error, and they begin to cooperate with the enemy that has come to wreak havoc in the church and to divide the church. So there's so much to learn from Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, from chapter 1 all the way to the end. But I want us to recognize the different situations that you have been in, because we have all come face to face with a witch, with a warlock. The things that I'm sharing, we have all experienced the resistance, the opposition. A lot of times, as an example, I use praise and worship. You may have an anointed worship leader, but then you may have someone that can just sing really good. And the one that could just sing really good comes up against the true worshiper, because they don't want them to have that limelight. They don't want them to have that attention. So they start talking about them in a bad way to make them lose their spot as being the worship leader. That worship leader that really loves God begins to experience great attacks, psychic attacks being sent against them, getting headaches, feeling confused, can't sing, can't praise, can't worship. This is all demonic oppression, and it's the attacks that the enemy sends against those that he desires to shut down. So going back to Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12, the job of the fivefold ministry is to teach and to edify. So when it comes down to spiritual warfare and learning how to recognize the warning signs of the enemy, how do we see these wounds? We need more teaching in that area. We need more teaching with spiritual warfare. We need more teaching with abuse in the church. We need more teaching with narcissistic behavior and recognizing the signs of a narcissist. Because 9 times out of 10, if you can recognize the signs of a narcissist, you can recognize the signs of a witch or a warlock that's trying to come up against you to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So tonight we want to bind everything associated with deception, distractions, and the monitoring spirits that come to destroy us, to discredit us. And I'm probably going to be doing a series on this, but I'm going to go deeper on the next time that we get together with the warning signs of a warlock and the warning signs of a witch, just some of the things that they do, some of the things that they say and their behavior, so that you can recognize. A lot of people are being deceived and are opening up their hearts to witches and warlocks only for them to turn on them and betray them in a bad way that affects their relationship with God and actually moves them away from God. This is a topic that is not a whole bunch of teaching taking place with this topic, but I thank God for, what he allowed me to share. And I pray that something said has been a blessing to you. It's real important that we don't doubt the things that we see or doubt the things that we hear. Because 9 times out of 10, the Holy Spirit is trying to show us something. And when we feel the presence of a witch or a warlock, we shouldn't play with it. We have to acknowledge that there's a witch and there's a warlock in our presence, and we shouldn't get afraid, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. But we must pray and shut that spirit down. So when it comes down to spiritual warfare, the Word of God says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what are some of the strongholds that we experience when a false prophet is present? What are some of the areas where we experience abuse in the church in relationships? What are some of the areas where we have experienced narcissistic behavior? How did it affect you? How did it make you feel? How did you pray about it? How did you overcome it? So we want to provide simple ways to overcome life circumstances with the Word of God through fasting and through prayer. So that concludes the message. Any comments, any questions before we go into prayer? Nehemiah was a builder, and he had a job to build the walls of Jerusalem. And in the process of building those walls, he was attacked by Tobiah and Sanballat with word curses, with threats, and a whole bunch of negative things to distract him from doing the work that God called him to do. So what is God calling you to do? Or what has God called you to do? How are you being distracted? Or how are you being focused? Any comments? Anybody have a prayer that they want to pray based on the information that we shared tonight? Okay, so everybody went to sleep again. So we're going to say, God bless you all. I speak blessings over you, and I cover you all with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. May you sleep peace. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Amen. Love you so much, and have a blessed night.